We're on 8 and 24, I believe. Romans 8, 24. The 8th and the 9th chapter of Romans is, very eternal. Talks about a lot of eternal things. A lot of eternal things. Election, predestination, and all that kind of stuff. And we're going to get into a little superlapsarian, infralapsarian, and sublapsarianism. We're going to understand it just a little bit better. All right? As we go. Tay. Gar. Elpida. Esothe man. Elpis. Day. Blephomene. Uk. Esten. Elpis. Now look at this Elpis three times so far. Okay. Ha. Gar. Blephe. Pis. Elpise. Look at how many times we've used that word Elpis in this verse. We've used it. Now, some people, uninformed, say that Koine Greek does not have eight cases like classical Greek. And here is one of the places where it so plainly shows the eight cases. All right? What are the eight cases in Greek? Can you... Nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. Now, some people say that Greek, Koine Greek, only has five cases, and let me explain that to you just a little bit. Here we have nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative, okay? That's the eight cases. Now, how do you get five cases out of eight cases? Does anyone know? What?
You multiply by 0.6.
Okay. What they do is lump these cases and these cases together. All right? That all of these are the same and these two are the same, so you end up with five instead of eight. Okay? One, two, three, four, five. Okay? But that's not true. So let's forget that. This verse right here blows that out of the water. Okay? So let's take a look at it. Nominative is a case of the subject, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. And right in this case here, in one word, we have three cases in what we call locative, instrumental, and dative. It's LPs. All right? In three different cases. Separately, all right, we are saved in hope, for hope, and by hope. Locative, instrumental, and dative. We are saved in hope, for hope, and by hope. That's what it's talking about right here. Now, you've got to be in advanced reading and research to get what you're getting tonight. That's all she wrote. Because they'll miss this one and jump over this thing and just say, oh, that's the way it is, you know. But here we have. For in the hope. Look at that word te there. See that word te? That's locative. For in the hope. All right? That's locative, singular. We were saved. First person plural. First aorist indicative passive. For in hope we were saved. In hope. Locative. Okay? And we were saved. First aorist, you are saved in very peculiar action. It is not a process. It is done. Zip. You are saved forever. Okay? Zip. All right. LPs. Now we have instrumental. Instrumental. For in the hope we were saved instrumentally. All right? For hope. We're saved for hope. Weak adversity conjunctive particle here, page 85, if you want to put day down there, if you want to put all that down. Being seen, all right? It's passive voice. Being seen, not is by hope. Dative singular. What? For what? He sees anyone he hopes. Look at that. We are saved in hope, for hope, and by hope. And we are saved outside of ourselves also.
We are saved outside of ourselves. It's God that saves us.
You don't get saved by your own merits. We know that.
We don't get saved by our own merits.
Romans 8 and 20. Romans 4:18, 1 Thessalonians 5:8, Titus 3:7, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, and Hebrews 11 and verse 1 are cross-references to this, and we're only going to go to one of these cross-references. Hebrews 11 and verse 1, because it's so important. Hebrews 11 and 1. Is anyone over there in Hebrews 11 and 1? Hebrews 11 and 1. We could go look at every one of them, but then we wouldn't get much further. But this, Jim, you're there. All right.
Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
All right. Faith is the what?
Assurance.
Of the assurance.
Of things hoped for.
Of things hoped for. Now, let me tell you about this word elpis here. That is a little more than hope. It means in Greek, it has the idea of guaranteed future establishment, guaranteed future existence. Guaranteed. What is the guarantee of our hope based upon? Our own merits? Or what Jesus did? What Jesus did. Exactly what Jesus did. All right. Let's go on 8:25 now. 8 and verse 25. 8:25. Hi. Coming to the Romans class?
Yes.
All right. Just have a seat right here. Marilyn, you want to get her a book, please? She can sit right there by her if you like. Yeah. That's right. That's there. Can you get her a book, Marilyn?
Yeah.
All right. We're in Romans 8 and 25 right now. Romans 8, 25. We read it, read it in Greek, and then we translate it and comment on it. 8:25. Anyone start that one out for me? Hey, day, ha, u, blepomen. And then here's that word again. Elpizomen. De, hypomenes. Apek dex ometa. All right. We're learning Greek by induction. What does that mean? By doing it. Learning Greek by doing it. One of the best ways to teach math, if you've had time to do it, was to go out and show people how important math is in your daily life. Well, they don't want to go buy anything in the store and multiply and divide, and if you're going to buy five of them or whatever else, and go out and you're going to build a patio, and you need 10 pieces of sheets of plywood and how thick and all this kind of stuff. And yeah, math is very important. Yeah, very important. You got to use it every day, whether you like it or not. At least consumer math. At least. All right. Last time I thought this was March the 30th, 1977. This very verse, evidently. But if, and that word if there is not really if, is it? What is it? Since. But since, first class conditional particle, condition determined as what? Fulfilled. All right. What? Not, adverb of negation. We see. First person plural present indicative active comes from blepo. See? OSA omineta UCAN. All right. We hope. Again, we hope. We hope. First person plural present indicative active. We hope through hypomones. Hypomones. All right. We eagerly expect. That comes from apo and ek and dexamai. We eagerly expect. Triple compound. Now let's go to James 1 and verses 2 through 4. Hypomones. How many of you ever had any done any exercising? Have you done any exercise? Have any of you ever done any isometrics? Isometrics? What is isometrics? You're pushing against an immovable object. Sounds like life, doesn't it? And look at Job's life for a while. That guy had a lot of hypomonēs, didn't he? A lot of spiritual isometric. That's what hypomonēs. Hypomonēs means it comes from hypo. When you've got hypoglycemia, what do you have? Hypoglycemia. What is that? That's hyper. Hyperglycemia means what? High blood sugar. Hypo means what? Under, low blood sugar. That's what I have. Okay, I have that low stuff. All right. Hypomonēs. Meno means to remain under. Remain under the strain. That's what it's talking about. Now let's look at James and see what James says. All right, James. We did the book of James in here. And all the way through the book of James in Greek. All right. Who's in James 1 and 2? Jim, you're over there again. All right.
Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials.
That means many colored trials. Many-sided trials. It's like a prism. I mean, you're surrounded with trials. I know all about that, I think. Surrounded by trials. What else does it say?
Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance.
All right. The testing of your faith produces this hypomonēs. That's the term right there, hypomonēs. It produces staying power. Staying power. Staying power. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3. Let's look at that one. Are you over there, Steve? 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3. All right.
1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3.
Yeah.
Because we recall in the presence of our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right. Endurance of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says hope. Hope in Christ. Hoping in Christ. A while ago, we looked at it, and we were saved in hope, for hope, and by hope, weren't we? And I tell you something else. We're saved in grace. Ephesians 2 and 8 says what? From the original language, it says, for in grace ye are having been saved. For in grace, inside of it, engulfed in it, immersed in grace. That's how you get saved, is in grace. For in grace ye are having been saved through faith. Pisces. Say pisces. All right, that's faith. That's when you cling on to something with all your might. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are created in Christ, what? Unto good works. That's what we're supposed to do. When we're born again, we're supposed to be like our Father. We ought to start acting like Him. A little bit, and acting like our Savior, if we're born of them. Yeah, that's what we do. Enduring the trials and the wiles and the schemes of Satan. We have to do that. Enduring. All right. 8 and 26. This is kind of a unusual little old adverb here. Hosautos. All right. Day. Kai. Kai looks just like English, doesn't it? All right. To. That looks just like English too, doesn't it? Pneuma. Pneuma. What is a Hebrew equivalent of pneuma? Come on. Ruach. 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 All right. We learn Hebrew and Greek at the same time here, okay? All right. Ruach. All right. And then sin ante lambonete. That's almost like anti-establishmentarianism, isn't it? All right, that's a long word. Sin ante lambonete. Te asthenia. Himon. To gar ti prosuk ometa. Kapo de uk oidamen. Allah, stenogmos, Huh? Did we? Oh, he. Did I forget one? Oh, alto, to, numa, hyperen, tuxene, and then stenogmois. I skipped over a line, didn't I? My glasses did that. Aletos. Aletos. Aleletos. Lots of words. What's the word? How do you say speak in Hebrew? What's the word? Davar. 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 Okay. Let's go on. Hosautois. Okay. Similar to or likewise, it comes from hos and autos. It's on page 444 in the Analytical Greek Lexicon if you want to write that down. You can look it up. Similarly and likewise in this manner, moreover, also, the Spirit. This is a beautiful verse. The Spirit is talking about Spirit God. Genesis 1 and 2. Someone quote or go to Genesis 1 and 2 and let's look at that. Genesis 1 and 2. Because this is an act of salvation. It is the continuous act of God's Spirit on a ruined creation. Genesis 1 and 2. Okay, it says here, wait just a minute. It says something like, we ha'aretz. Ha'ya. Tohu avuhu. All right. And the earth, we ha'aretz, and the earth, she became formless and void. And then what does it say after that? That's the very important part. We got that down. Now what does it say? Who's there in Genesis 1 and 2? Are you over there, Jim?
And darkness was over.
And darkness became El Pene Tahom, over the faces of the deep. Darkness became over the faces of the deep. It became. That's a change from one state, a change from one state to the other. And what else does it say?
And the Spirit.
Ruah Elohim. It's not the Spirit of God. It's not a Spirit from God. The Hebrew, what they call the Jewish Publication Society, it says, and the wind from God. That's what it says, and a wind from God, because it's Ruah. But it's not that, it's His Spirit God. We're talking about God's Holy Spirit. Spirit God, okay? We're made in God's image. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body, just like God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There aren't three gods. There is one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is three. One. Oh, that's a hot. All right, not three, one. Okay, there aren't three gods or one. All right. And we can see Him manifested in our own selves. There aren't three of us, but yet there are three. There's only one person, but there are three.
You know, where it talks about the marriage of Adam and Eve, it says, and the twain shall become one flesh. Huh. Now, that one is the same one which is used of the of course, that's true.
Yeah. One. Yes. They became one. Yeah. But they were one, weren't they?
Yeah, because he came from
that. That's right. Woman means what? What does woman mean? In Hebrew, it's Isha. Isha. It means out of man. Woman is out of man. Man is a primary creation from God. He was not made from dirt. Oh boy, I know that just struck everybody terrible. Man was not made from dust or sand or anything like that. He was made from the same elements as dust. To become dust. Because God knew prophetically that he would sin and he would become dust. Alright? So God made man as he made the elements of the earth. And where did the elements of the earth come from? God. All of these are primary creations of God. Now the animals and things are made from the earth. Calls to come out of the earth. The seeds sprout from the earth. All this, we look at this. But then God made man, and he's coming right out of the hands of God. And then he exists for a while in one form. Man was man and woman. He was what? In Hebrew, it's called what? Ha Adam. Say Ha Adam. The mankind. That's who he was. He was mankind. He was, all of mankind was in Adam. All of the anthropology is the study of mankind, was in one person. And then God, it says that he hypnotized him. Hypnose is what it says in the Septuagint. He hypnotized him. Caused him to go into deep hypnotic trance. We find out that early Indians and the Chinese were hypnotizing people and doing operations on them thousands of years ago. Because they knew there have been certain things passed down. And there's people using hypnotism bad, too. Salesmen are hypnotized. You know how many salesmen uses hypnosis on people? How many televisions uses hypnosis and what we call subliminal messages? That's hypnosis, people. Hypnose. But now God, he hypnotized Adam, and then he took from his sides, not side, not rib, but sides, plural, and he made woman. And they took the one apart, aha, took it apart, and made two, and then put it back together into one. Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful. All right. Well, let's go on a little bit further. We'll get to chasing too many rabbits here, and we won't get very far. All right. Similarly, moreover, also, the Spirit, God, together against receives. That's what it literally says. Together against receives. It's third person singular, present, indicative, middle voice. This word is only used two times in the New Testament. Okay? It's a very rare word. And it means to work together in unison. Brother H.T. Hubbard, my Hebrew and Greek teacher, he told me when we came to this word one time, a long time ago when we were doing the book of Romans, he said, Brother Jim, he said, I know that you saw firewood. And he said, I know that you use those Johnson Red chainsaws. That was a Cadillac of chainsaws back then. I said, I cut wood for a living and had a firewood business and everything. But he said, did you ever use a cross-cut saw? How many of you know what a cross-cut saw is? You see them painted now. People paint these cross-cut saws. Well, he said, up in the woods, if you ever see any pictures of the old redwoods and everything, you'll see people sitting out there with a great big, maybe 20-foot-long cross-cut saw, and one man on each side of it. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've got a guy out there on the other end of that saw that's fighting against you, you're not going to get anything done. You have to work together. And that's the term, saw together. My great-grandfather, Sam Paul's son-in-law, took me out and showed me how to use a cross-cut saw about 60-some-odd years ago. And he taught me that I had to pull together. Marilyn, did you ever use a cross-cut saw and work with two people? You can really fight each other or you can saw together. Now this word here, it means to share in the work. To lend a hand together with at the same time as one. To lend a hand together with at the same time as one. You're working as a team to such a degree that it is like one person working. Okay, that's a beautiful term. In the asthenia, in the sicknesses, unsoundness. I used to train horses a long time ago. And we would go to horse sales and things, and you know what? You can go to a horse sale and you can really buy a bag of bones and a lot of trouble if you don't know what to look for. You have to look for the weaknesses in the horses and you have to spot them. You don't know what arsenic is? Huh? Arsenic? Well, it's poison, but I'm going to tell you what. If you take an old horse that's sick and you give him a little arsenic, his eyes will shine and he'll trot around like he's feeling good. A little bit of poison will make him feel better. All right? So you had to watch all these tricks, the schemas, and the tricks of the devil and people like that. All right? You have to watch the tricks, the schemes of people. And you have to look through all that and see soundness. You have to see one that's sound. You have to pick a horse out that's sound. And a lot of times you see horses that are not sound. People that are not sound. We go to doctors to find where we're not sound, osteopenia, our weaknesses. Okay? Our weaknesses. Brother John, I remember here in the last few years you had a lot of osteopenia time, but you just came through them all then. You had a lot of operations. You just had gobs of them, didn't you?
Yeah.
You went and became sound again. Working on it. Trying to stay sound. Up and vertical, anyway. I've had the same thing. Shared together in the weaknesses of us, for the what we shall pray for ourselves. Pros eux someta. First person plural, future indicative, middle voice. Look at that middle voice. Middle voice is very important. Middle voice means you're doing it for yourself. But it also means here that the Spirit of God in us is working with us. When we don't know what to say, He helps us say it. Just like with that crosscut saw. Sawing and sawing and sawing and never missing a lick in perfect unison. We don't know what we shall pray for. Just as katho, that comes from kata. Alright? Just as it is bindingly necessary. Look at that word, third person singular, present, impersonal, active. It is bindingly necessary, not we keep on knowing. Now, there's two ways that we can interpret this oidamen. It can be imperfect, or it can be aorist. All right? I believe it's in perfect tense. Because we just keep on not knowing what to say sometimes. Have you ever had such a burden on your heart that you didn't know even how to pray for it? And you just cry. And you just cry. And pour your heart out to God. You just cry and pour your heart out to God. Spirit God works with your spirit and makes God understand what you need. Because you can't put it into words. You don't know how to put it into words. You don't even know what to say. You know what to ask for. I told you I was reading this trial books about Moman Pruitt. And politics are dirty. Are they not? Just go to the internet if you don't think. And look at all the trash out there on the internet. Lies about people. All kinds of lies. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Before they had the internet, they had them politicians up there in Washington, D.C. And they had them in California, and they had them in Oklahoma. You go back to the Oklahoma City for a moment, and there was a judge there that was a pretty good judge, but he didn't go along with everything that everybody wanted to do. And so they conspired, other politicians conspired against him. We're going to put this dude out. We're going to choose him. He was a little rough on their draft, and a little bit rough on their payolas. So we're going to accuse him of being the mastermind of all of the graft. And the prostitute rings and the bootlegging joints and the gambling halls and everything. We're going to line him up and we're going to get us a whole bunch of witnesses and we're going to fry this guy. And we'll get our own man in there. And the guy that's wanting to do this was the guy that was going to run for governor. He's going to be the governor. So they get up there and they're just slandering. They slander the poor guy. And old Moman Pruitt told him, he said, just humbly take it, everything they say. He said, you know, I'm a lawyer too. And you're a lawyer, but he said, you're the greatest lawyer I ever saw, Moman. He said, I'm going to do exactly what you say, but he said, it's hard for me to sit here and listen to these people lie about me. He said, do it. Sit there. Don't even object. I'm not going to object. Just let them do whatever they're going to do. Let them object. I'll let them speak and do everything they want to. Finally, they lambasted him and they lambasted the lawyer. And Moman Pruitt, he had 10.5 months of education in school, period. 10.5 months of education. That's all the education the man had, period. And the lawyer got up there, and this is a lawyer out of Arkansas, and I think his name was Van Sant. Well, Ullman Pruitt recognized Van Sant. He knew who he was, and he recognized the foreman of the jury, who he was. And all of this blasphemy that's going on here, he said, just shut up and sit back. And he didn't say it. Finally, the judge, at the end of days there, he walks up there to Ullman Pruitt, and he said, how in the world have you kept your tongue? He said, don't worry. He said, when I stand up here, I'm going to skin him alive, and I'm going to poke so many holes in him, you're going to be able to use him for a sifter. Just don't worry about it. And I'm going to do it with the truth. He got up there, and he accused him of... He had a great big diamond right here on his tie, and a big diamond ring, and stick pins and everything. Just gaudy. Very tailored clothes and everything else. And he got up there and he said, look at this guy. He said, you can see the blood from people's lives in those diamonds. Are the people, the scoundrels that he has freed from the noose through all of these years. When you do something wrong, you get that man. He's educated in the highest schools by the masters. He's polished by the masters. And he went on around him, everything like that, and he put up with about 3 hours of this, ranting and raving in the courtroom, never said a word. Then it came his time to talk. And of course, the prosecutor, he gets to do the last talking. He gets up there and he said, well, I want to tell you my roots. Mr. Van Sant, you don't remember me, but I remember you. I was the little boy that blackened your shoes. And I held your horse out there while you went in to that big restaurant where I worked for the food that I ate. I watched all that fancy food pass by my nose, and I sat back there and ate soup with stale bread while you sat in there in that big dining room. And I would run out there and hold your horses, and I would black your shoes. And he said, you ought to remember one thing about me that I was... He said, I've only had 10.5 months of formal education, and I've never been in any school of higher learning at all. None. He said, I carried railroad ties. And I cut railroad ties for the railroad that comes through here. He said, I was a butcher's boy. And Mr. Van Sant, he said, you ought to remember this. He said, one time, he said, I made a slip, and those beautiful white socks of yours, I got a little bit of black on them. And he said, you took your hat and almost destroyed it in my face. You hit me so hard you rammed a straw from the hat in my eye, and I had to go to the doctor. And then after you hit me and I was crying, screaming, you hauled off and kicked me as hard as you could. And then he said, they had to call my mother and my father. And you gave them some money to take me to the doctor if I would shut up, and you gave us a fancy ride in your carriage to my home. That's the kind of upbringing and roots that I have. And he said, you can attest to that. You were there. Okay? That's where I was. He said, I'm not from any school of higher learning and everything. Anyway, and he said, the foreman and the jury, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I was the butcher boys. They called me Lamb Chops. I used to get mad. I couldn't go to school because I'd fight them when they called me Lamb Chops. But he said, one time, he says, I remember that man. He'll attest to who I am. He said, I was that poor butcher's boy that didn't even have any shoes to wear, and he said, I walked out 7 miles to his house to pick up a little yellow heifer calf that was a pet. But they were poor, like I was poor, and the poor woman was out there washing clothes and ironing clothes. He said, I saw her out there with her, I don't know if you people know this, my grandma washed clothes and ironed with a scrub board, and her hands were always peeling and bleeding all the time. He said, I saw that woman with her hands bleeding like my mother's hands bleeding, washing clothes. And he said, they carried this little calf out there and they took this little bell from around her neck and took the chain off of her. And the mother was crying, her eyes were just crying, and the children were crying. And they brought the calf to me. And I stood there and I was crying because I knew this was somebody's pet. And the woman begged her husband one more time to bring it over there so she could give it a handful of salt for a treat. Took it over there and she held on its neck and soaked it with her tears. By that time, the whole jury is crying. And they realize this guy is lambasting these guys, and this is the real person. When he got through, the prosecutor wouldn't even get up any longer because everybody was weeping with him. That's what it's talking about here, weeping with. The Spirit of God weeps with us because He has compassion to us. He loves us. He feels our feelings and our hurts. He feels it. Weeps with us. Well, he was acquitted. They just threw it out of the court. And the fancy lawyer got up here. He said, I have nothing else to say. Not guilty. Case dismissed. You know what? That's what happens with us many times. You know when the old devil brings, accuses us and does the things that he does it? God says, case dismissed. Because he's already suffered with us. It is binding that necessary, for we do not keep on knowing, but himself the Spirit, he falls in above with us. He hovers in, he just comes on top of us like a mother hen with her baby chickens and covers them with her wings. Out on the farm, you know, I go out there and I talk chicken. When I walk out in the backyard, I go, Randy, you've been there. You've probably seen me do that. And they come a-running. I think they think I'm their mama. And Jesus stood on the Mount of Olives and he looked over this over to Jerusalem and he said, Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how many times I would have clucked like a mother hen, but you would not come. Spirit God wants to treat everyone like that. He wants to love us. He does. He said, He supplicates, He falls when above us. He comes down from above. Hyper. See that word hyper on the top? That's above. And He ascends upon us. And He caresses us. It says, with groaning, stenogmois. Instrumental plural. He sighs with us. He sighs with us with sighs unspeakable. Words that we cannot even speak. How many of you have had trials like that? Where you had to pray? I remember so many years ago coming to church that I was in so much deep grief. I'd pull over on the side of the road and I'd just cry. And I'd beg God to answer my prayers. Things that I could not control. Terrible circumstances that we are in. We are in terrible circumstances every day, you know that? Terrible circumstances. We are trailed by Satan. Trailed. He's on our trail. Trailed by him. 8:27. Whole day. Erun. Known, erunon, tas, kardias, oide, ti, to, phronema, tu, pneumatos, kote, kata, theon, antiques ane, heper, hagion. All right. And the one searching. That's the one trailing us. We got the devil trailing us and we got God trailing us. I like God trailing me. I know Satan's there all the time. I know he's there. I know where he is. He's about 1 foot behind me. Most of the time. The one searching and trailing us, the hearts, he knows. Look at that one. Oidan. Oidan. He knows. He continues and he knows. Third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. He knows what? The mind. The frame. The mind. You know, there's several words for mind in Greek. This is the word frame. He knows what the mind of the Spirit is. The mind of the Spirit. Our spirit. You get tired of looking at this diagram, I know. But here we are. This is us. Here is God over here. And here is us made in His image. We are body, we are spirit, and we are soul. Okay? Body. Soma. Say soma. Body.
Soma.
Soma. All right? And flesh, sarx. That's another word for flesh. And in Hebrew, it's basar. All right? Spirit. Ruah. Ruah. All right? And numa. And then soul. Soul in Hebrew is nephesh. Say nephesh. All right? And it's psyche in Greek. When we are born into this world, we're born with a spirit of rebellion in us. That's there. We're born with it. That's what leads us astray and to hell. When we're born again, that spirit of rebellion is thrown out of us, and Spirit God comes and indwells us. And that's what happens all the way back yonder to the garden. Every time anybody was ever saved, that's what happens. Spirit God indwelt there. Spirit God is what marks you for the resurrection. We're going to see it a little bit later on in a few more verses. That Spirit God is what marks us off for the resurrection. That's how God is going to resurrect it, because that Spirit is our brand. That Spirit is our mark. When you go out and you brand cattle with a certain brand, and you also earmark them from what family they came from what mom and daddy they have. Chickens, when you mark them, you toe-punch them. Out and out. In and in. In out. Or slit one and punch the other one. These are the way families marked. God marks us. We're His family. Okay? We're marked with Him. Our soul is affected by the Spirit. That's what makes us change. And the body is supposed to wander along. You know how the body is. We still have trouble with that, don't we? The old body. According to the frame, He supplicates. Intuxanethe. Third person singular, present, indicative, active. To fall in with. On behalf of Hagios. Hagios. Now the Catholic Church makes saints, don't they?
No.
Don't they make saints? They're wanting to make a saint out of one of them popes they had here a while back, aren't they? They're trying to do that. Have they done it yet?
They tried to do that.
Uh-huh. Hagios. That's the word saint right there. Hagios. Okay? Now, what does saint mean? Literally.
Not of earth.
Not of earth. A saint, somebody's born from above, not of earth. When you're born the first time, you're born with your father and mother's spirit. The spirit of rebellion in you. It's just there. You are infected with it. You're infected with the spirit. And then when you're born again, you have a new spirit in you. Alright? Now, Jesus said, believe in me and you will what? Never die. Now, it doesn't mean the body won't die. But the part of him that would never die is that spirit and soul. And the body will be redeemed someday. God is going to redeem us, spirit, body, and soul one of these days. Age, not of earth. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, he said to Nicodemus, which was a religious man, he was a Pharisee, one of the most religious groups in among them. He was a rabbi. He was a doctor of theology. That, when they call you a rabbi, that means a doctor of theology. Okay? He was a rabbi, a master teacher, and he was the one that made proselytes and baptized proselytes. And when they baptized apostolites, they said, when he died to him, his old nationality, his old ethnic background, and he died in the baptism, they baptized every one of them, they dipped them, and they died to their old national identity, and they were raised anew as a son of Israel. Alright? And so he said to him, you must be born from above. You've been born down here, and boy, you still don't have that Spirit of God in you. You need to be born from above because you're still an earthling. He said, you know, what do you mean? I got to go back in my mother's womb again to be born? He said, yeah. He said, I can't even tell you spiritual things because you can't even understand physical thing. No, you're not going to go back in your mother's womb and be born again. He said, you mean but born from above. From above. Not of earth. A saint is one that's not of earth. He's born from above. Eight and verse 28, a beautiful verse. We could do 2 hours on this one. Oidamen. Day. Hote. Tois. Aga poison. Ton theon. Panta. Sin erge. Ace. Agathon. Tois. Kata, Prothason, Claytois, Usen. This is quite a verse right here. Behind all things is God's sovereignty. Behind all things is God's sovereignty. Now, this is speaking to us in church capacity. I want you to understand, these are church members he's talking about now. These aren't just saved people. These are saved church members covenanted together in this church at Rome. This is a church letter, okay? Many people take the epistle from the Bible, but almost all the Bible is written to churches, isn't it? Nearly. 1 and 2 Corinthians, to a church. Ephesians, a circular, universal church letter. Colossians. All right? Philippians. All of these are church letters. All right? And that's what we have here. And we know, we keep on knowing, that the ones loving habitually as a habit, the God, look at this, loving habitually. That word there, loving, there are several words for love in the Bible, isn't there? Quite a few words for love. This one here this is a sacrificial love. This is a love that it doesn't matter how somebody acts, you love them. That's a father's love for a son or a daughter. That's about the only way I can say it. And that's the way God looks at us, as his love for us, as our father. Told my daughter here a while back, I said, no, nothing you could do would make me not love you. Marilyn, could you give me some juice, please? I said, nothing you could do would make me stop loving you. Because I'm your father, I love you. That's the way God loves us. It doesn't mean that if we do something wrong that we're going to be all right. Doesn't mean that at all. It means that he loves us, habitually loving us, and we habitually love him. I have low blood sugar attacks, hypoglycemia. I've been checking like the leaves to bat. I won't be able to stand up here. I'm going to drink some of that. For we know that the ones loving habitually, the God, the ones there, that's dative plural masculine. And the word ones I'm putting in there, it's the. That's a dative plural masculine definite article. But the ones in there is a what we call a practical substantive because it's understood. It says, we know that the, all right, we have to supply the word ones, the ones habitually loving the God, all things, sin erge. It comes from ergio. It means works together. Third person singular, present indicative active. Ace, agathon. Now, I've got one or two people in this classroom that know what the word ace, what is the grammatical rule for the preposition ace. Page 119 in your analytical Greek lexicon. What is that, Cindy?
External limitation.
Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. It means a whole lot. It means beyond and through, because of something behind or through or right here, right now. All right. And what is the... That's ace, okay, in Greek. All right. Now, what is it in Hebrew? It. Page 84 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and page 119 in the Greek Analytical Lexicon. All right. You want to look them up. It means something there is going to get some action from something before. There's a railroad train coming. All right. For we know that the one habitually loving the God, all things work together, ace agathon, for their good. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, it's awfully hard to say that. If you've been through the ringer. Huh? Yep. For good. For good. For good. Think about Job. What do you think Job thought about? You know, we can look at the book of Job and we can understand both sides of the story. Job only understood one side of the story. He did not have the commentary. I want you to understand that he only saw one side of the story. Why was the book of Job written anyway? For us. For us. So we can understand a little bit. Job, book of Job was written for us. Habitually loving the God, all things work together unto their, for their, through, for their polishing. To the ones according to purpose. To the ones. There we've got a practical substantive going. Dative, plural, masculine. To the ones. According to. That little old preposition there. According to. Purpose. Prothesis. That means to place beforehand. Matthew 12 and 4. Acts 27 and verse 13. I want you to know something about this. You go back in the Old Testament now and let's look at this word from the Septuagint. So this is very important. For the purpose. A lot of times, if you don't look at these words from the original language, you cannot understand what the verse is talking about. Go back to the tabernacle. In the tabernacle was the tabernacle was a tent. And right in here in the first room is called the holy place. And in the holy place and the tabernacle, right there on the right-hand side is what? The table of what? Showbread. And in there is also the altar of incense, and in there is also the candlestick. Three things. That room is the type of the church age today. Today. All right? Before you can get in there, you've got to go to the altar. You've got to be saved. You've got to have baptism. All right? Scriptural baptism. And then you walk in there, and on the right-hand side there is an altar there, a place where showbread was, the table of showbread. Why was the table of showbread there? Why is it called the table of showbread? It's called the bread of the presence. Now, the one that's in there always is Spirit God. God is just beyond the veil, and we're in the presence of God all the time. And we have the candlestick, and we have the altar of incense. The altar of incense typifies the prayers of the saints in the church. The candlestick is our illumination. All right? By Spirit God. And the table of showbread is that we are always in the mind of God. There was 12 loaves on there, wasn't there? Typifying each tribe of Israel that God remembered all of them every day of the hour. Every hour of the day and every minute of the hour and every second of the minute, of every minute, that God was remembering all of these. Now let's go back and look at it like this. Okay, go back. For we continually know that the ones loving the God, all things are caused to come together for the good, to the ones according to that He loves, that are in His presence, that are in His heart at all times. That's what it's talking about. Like the table of showbread, right there in His presence. He's love. These are the ones placed before Him. These are the ones that are always on His mind. When you bring children in the world, they're always on your mind. That's right. Your children are on your mind. You think about it and you pray about them. I tell you what, there's more prayer has been sent up for people's children than anything else in this world. Mothers that are praying for their sons over there in Iraq and Afghanistan and all over the place, and their hearts are breaking, and they hear maybe they're hurt or whatever, and they go into a firefight over there in an area, and that's where my boy is. And you get real serious and you start praying when you're under great temptation and great torment. To set beforehand. When did God write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life? Before He ever created anything. Way back yonder in eternity past, that's when He did it. We were the called back then. He remembered us back then. In space and time, we're born. In space and time, we're saved. But there, He knew us always. And we have always been on His mind to all. In 300 B.C., God knew me. In 10,000 B.C., God knew me. He knew everything that would happen to me in my life. If there's any consolation in that. And He knew you. You were always before His mind. And you were always in His heart. And in space and time, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we call out for mercy and ask forgiveness for our sins and we're saved, that affects us eternally. The ones placed before the call, the kletos, the ones called kletos. What is the word church in Greek? Ecclesia. What does it mean? Come from ek. Alright. Alright. Ek. And kalio. Alright. Ek and kalio. There are two major elections in the Bible. Israel and the church. Israel and the church. Israel and the church. Now he's talking still about church capacity here now. Still is. According to the place beforehand and the called, being called. Nominee, singular, masculine, present, participle. All right. Dative, plural, masculine. Present, participle. The ones being called.
I guess the key idea in that verse is
yeah. Romans 9:11 and 3:11, 1 Timothy 1 and 9, 1 Corinthians 16 and 16, 2 Corinthians 6 and 1.
There is a verse.
See if I can find it. Maybe. First Corinthians 15:58. Now this is quite different in Greek than it is in English. All right. Someone, you got King James or anything? Somebody read that. Anybody got the Episcopalian Bible with you? 1 Corinthians
15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
All right. Now let's look at it from Greek. This is really good. All right. So as brothers of me, beloved. That's the word agapetoi. Beloved brother. Be firm. Become firm. Become ye firm. That means muscles. exercise, becoming firm, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, always knowing that your beatings is not in vain. Your beatings are not in vain. Your beatings are not in vain. It's different. Your beatings are not in vain. The world beats us up. Doesn't it? Has the world ever beat you up? If you're lucky, if it hasn't, beat you up. That our beatings are not empty. They are not in vain in the Lord. Our beatings are not in vain. That's all I can say. That's what the Word says, that our beatings are not in vain. That's what we're talking about, Romans 8 and 28 there.
Well, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation.
Yes, right. In the world you will have tribulation. But we do have a glorious destiny. That's what we need to look forward to. The worse the world beats you up, the more you look to heaven. I remember... I had lived rough when I was growing up, you know. You've heard me tell stories, living in a shack that didn't even have a door on it. Had a tarp for a door hanging down. When you got out ready to eat, if you had anything to eat, which we had a stove, an old wood stove there, and a pot on it with beans in it. And you had to heat those beans up real hard because you left them there. If you had any meat or anything, when you came in there, you had the fire. I don't care how hungry you are, if you reached in there and ate some of them beans, you'd get sick. Because we have no refrigeration. You had to heat those beans up until they were boiling for at least 20 minutes before you could eat them. And when you got ready to sit down, you had to get a towel and shoo out all the flies that you could shoo out. I remember over there in Tucson, Arizona, was a shoo fly inn. I know all about shooing flies. Shoo fly inn. Rough way. Living rough. We'd get up early in the morning and we'd go out to the cotton fields and the potato fields or whatever. How would you like to pick cotton on a day like today? Or pick potatoes. You know, they pick potatoes all summer. They're already running potatoes right now. How would you like to be out there dragging a 100-pound sack of potatoes on a belt, bending over all day long throwing those potatoes in there, or picking up Angerns, onions, you know, out in that heat like that. And I remember my grandmother sang like a songbird. And she'd get out there, and there's a lot of colored people back in those days out in the fields, and they'd be singing spiritual songs. When the roll is called up yonder, swing low, sweet chariot. I'm going to tell you something. They were singing themselves in the glory. They couldn't stand this here. Man, they couldn't stand it. They were singing themselves into heaven. I mean, heaven over in the corner of glory land. Streets of gold. All of those songs are made up by those people out there in those cotton fields and potato fields out there working and digging ditches and stuff. They were singing themselves out of this world into the next. They had a purpose for it. You get out there and sing and drag your bottle of water along. Sang a little bit and drank a little bit. Sang a little bit and drank a little bit. Glorious destiny. Hote. Us. Proegno. Kai. Pro orison. Semaphorsphus. 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 Got tongue tied. Semaphorsphus. Get it? Haste. Ekinos, tu, huiu, autu, ace, to, ine, auton, prototokon, en, phalois, adelphois. Right there is where we're going to quit. Romans 11, 2, 9, 23, 1 Corinthians 8 and 3, and 2 and 7, 15, 49, Ephesians 1, 5 and 11, and 3 and 11, Galatians 1, 6, and 15 and 5 and 8, 2 Thessalonians 2, 14, Hebrews 9, 15, 1 Peter 2 and 9 and 3 and 9, John 17, 22, Romans 8 and 29, Revelation 1 and 5, Colossians 1, 18, Hebrews 12, 23 and 11, 28, and Ephesians 4, 22 are cross references to this verse, along with Matthew 7, 23 and Psalm 1 and 6 and Acts 26 and 5. Because whom he foreknow, he also foreordained. Ephesians 2:10. 2:8-10. For in grace ye are having been saved through faith. It's not out of you. The faith didn't come from you. Salvation, the grace came from God. The faith came from God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but we are created unto good works, so we can conform together with our calling as church members. I've been trying to make teachers for a long time. I try to make teachers. I'm not going to be here a whole lot many more years, and I'm going to try to make as many teachers as I can make. And I'm recording all these classes and putting them out all over the world. When you come into this class, you become worldwide. Young lady, what is your name?
Claudia.
Claudia? All right. So they hear you. They're going to hear you in Japan in a couple of days. They'll know who Claudia is. They'll ask about you. They'll know who Jim is and Steve and Bill and Cindy. They already asked and emailed me about you. And Don. And Randall. They thank him because he's the webmaster. He does it all. He puts it up there. He'll have it up there before long. Discoveringtheword.com. All over the world. Trying to build up Christians to understand what God's done for them. That's what we study the Bible, is to understand God a little bit more and understand us. Whom he also foreordained, he marked off beforehand. That means to corral. To corral. To cut you out. Like on a cutting horse. I used to train cutting horses a long time ago. You go into a herd, and you can always tell a cutting horse. When you get in there and you aim him at a steer or a calf, his eyes, his ears will pin back like that, and he'll look at him, and his old eyes will open up, and he's concentrating on nothing else. He's going to cut that calf out. That is, if he's a good horse, trained horse. Cut him out. God cut us out a long time ago. Whom he foreknow, he also cut out. Ephesians 1:4. Someone go to Ephesians 1:4 real quick. Ephesians 1:4. Ephesians 1:4. Oh, I wish you could do that in Greek. That's good in Greek. Cindy, are you over there?
Yeah.
All right.
Even as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in his sight, even above reproach before him in love.
All right. That's the way God wants to look at us. You know, when you love somebody, you look at them, you don't want to see their faults. You try to look at them, just the love covers them. When my wife gets ornery, I just love her. Not very often, though. I just say, I love. When she starts to screaming and screeching, I say, I love you, don't I? I do. I tell her I love her. I love you. That's what God does. And that ought to, and we ought to remember that. Every time we get out of sorts with the Lord, we ought to remember he says, I love you. For God so loved the world. All right? For whom he foreknow, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image, the icon, the image of the heir of him, the son. Who is the heir? Huios is different. Name me the different words for child or offspring in Greek. What are they? Nepios. Nepios. Speechless baby. Braphos. One briefly born, or even an embryo or a child being carried. All right. Technon. A live birth. All right? All of these. These are different ones. And then Paideon. That's a spanking child. That's one that you teach to spank and correct. He's old enough to correct him. All right. And then we have Huios, which means the heir. This is the heir. This is the one that's going to be the patriarch, so to speak, in the Old Testament. The patriarchs. That means the paterfamilia in Latin. The patria in Greek, meshpatha also in Hebrew, the father of the family. The head, the leader. All right. The son of him, unto the to be him firstborn, prototokon, firstborn, the first rank, the chief, the primogenitor, as it means in Latin, the primogenitor. That's the head. The right of the firstborn, page 555 and 556 in Thayer's Greek lexicon. Colossians 1:18 tells you that. In many brothers, among many brothers. All right. That's quite a verse right there. Marked off for eternity. For he foreknew, he marked off for eternity. Well, go out and do something eternal. This week. Teach what you've learned. We're going to study supralapsarianism, infralapsarian and sublapsarianism, and we're there. We're getting to this point. We're going to just jump it. We're going to throw it out on you maybe next week. Does that get you too much? Is that too much for you? No. You'll understand. I tell you what, you may not know whether you're a supralapsarian, infralapsarian, or sublapsarian, but when you get through looking at them, you will know what classification you are. Maybe you're in the classification you don't want to be. Maybe you want to move up a notch or two or down a notch or two. All right. We'll talk about it a little bit. All right. Thank you for enduring those hard seats, and pray for us always. Let's see here. Brother Bill.
Just a minute.